All right, what's the dumbest thing you've ever done that you can tell us about? Somebody share something really dumb you've done. One quick one. Come on, we've all done dumb things. What's the dumbest thing you've ever done? Run a red light in front of a cop. Yeah, that's pretty high up there. Yep. What else? Come on, anybody. Punch somebody because they told you they didn't like you. All right. Just for the record, I like you, Iris. All right. Something else. Yes. Driving when you're really tired is dumb. Yes. It is. You hit a cop. You hit a cop car. Wow. Wow, that was bad. Yeah, I think I told you guys once of something really stupid I did. I was a kid, and I found it really cool that on my swing set, there were two open bars on my swing set, like in the joint, and right in the middle, there was a beehive. They had set up a nice little beehive in between the two pipes. And I said, I wonder what the bees would do if I cover the pipe. And I covered the pipe. And guess what they did? They stung the baloney out of me. Yep. It was bad. It was one of those, when I tried to explain to my dad, it was one of those like, are you? Anyway, my dad was not Christian, so his vocabulary was a little different, but he made me understand how foolish that was. Okay. Sometimes we do the dumbest things, and the problem is that when we get it wrong, we get it wrong. That's just, it's human nature. When we mess up usually pretty bad. There's few occasions where our mess ups are light, but it usually doesn't happen that way. And why do we do foolish things? Why do we do things that are just not wise? I think that there's many reasons for that, but I think usually it's because we're distracted, we're not paying attention, we're not really focused. Our mind is elsewhere, and so in a moment of distraction, we can have an accident. In a moment of distraction, we can just say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. If we're not thinking about what we say and thinking about what we do, we can end up doing some pretty foolish things and saying some things that are like really not good things to say. And I think part of that is a breakdown in communication. Communication is really complex. If you've studied communications, you understand that there's so much to communication. It is really complex. To use an analogy or an illustration of how complex it is, imagine if you're trying to describe to somebody over the phone something you're seeing. Here's the challenge, okay? You're looking at this, and you're not allowed to use any words, okay? You're just allowed to use descriptions, okay? And so you see this, your mind picks it up, and then you translate this into words. Those words go across the phone lines into the ear of the other person, and your objective is that the words you send into that ear will produce this image in their mind. That's when effective communication has happened. When you take what you see and you're able to communicate it into the mind of someone else who's not seeing it, but through your words, they see what you see. That is really hard to do. If you were trying to describe this to somebody over the phone without using what it is, you can't say, well, it's a bag of pistachios. I mean, that's okay. No, but it's a little plastic rectangle with black and green. If you're listening to this on the phone, you're like, try to picture what I'm telling you. It's like, it's not that. It's communication is like that. It's really hard to communicate sometimes. And even when we use the right words, it doesn't provoke the same images or the same ideas, because everybody comes to the table with this whole structure of ideas and words and meanings and pictures and images that is not the same. Like if I say dog, I may think of my mom's dog, or you may think of a little chihuahua you had. So the word that comes, the picture that comes to mind, in my mind, you know, is a Labrador, black Labrador, and yours might be a little chihuahua. And it's the same word, dog, because It's associated with experiences we've had. So communication is a real challenge. It really is. And that's why a lot of miscommunication happens. A lot of, even when you're dealing with a master communicator, you can only control half of that communication process. You cannot control what goes on in the mind of somebody else as they are communicated with. And so in Scripture, I find it really interesting that when Christ would communicate with his disciples, it was a challenge. And we understand that Christ was a master communicator. He invented language and he invented the human mind and he created us. So God is like, if anybody can communicate, Jesus knows how to communicate. Okay, but oftentimes you would find the disciples like at a loss. They did not understand what he was saying. If you remember in the last Answers in Dessert we did, we focused a little bit on the story of Lazarus and the death of Lazarus and how that miscommunication just was not there. The communication was not there. Jesus was being very explicit and very clear, and they just were not getting it. There are many episodes like that in Scripture that I find really interesting. And tonight we're going to consider a confrontation that Christ had with his disciples precisely because of something else, obviously, but what makes this confrontation interesting is, again, communication was a challenge. They were not communicating well. And so I want you to open your Bibles in Matthew 16. And I want to give you a little bit of a background into what's going on here. What provoked this confrontation between Christ and his disciples? What provoked this confrontation between Christ and his disciples? Matthew 16, starting in verse 1. Okay, here's the background. The first few verses, like verses 1 through 4, that's the background. That's what happened that later provoked a confrontation with the disciples. So let's read what happened, and then we'll figure out and we'll look at and consider the confrontation. One day, I'm reading New Living Translation. One day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. He replied, "You know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. You know how to interpret weather signs in the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times. Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign, but the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah." Then Jesus left them and went away. That's an interesting exchange between Jesus and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's looking through their test and trying to point to their hypocrisy and the fact that they know better than what they're asking. And he's demonstrating that to them. But that's not the main gist of it. Jesus has this exchange with the Pharisees, and then he walks away with his disciples. And so in his mind, he's thinking, you know, I don't think my disciples understand what just happened. They witnessed an exchange between me and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and I don't think they get it. So he decides that that was a good teaching moment, and he talks to them. He wants to teach them based on that. And that's where the confrontation takes place. Let's read the passage where Jesus teaches them or tries to teach them and then has to confront them. Verse 5, later, after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring any bread with them. They had no food. Now listen to Jesus. "Watch out," Jesus warned them. "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." At this, they began to argue with each other because they had not brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, "You have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves? And the baskets of leftover you picked up? Or 4,000 I fed with seven loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? So again I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about the yeast in the bread, but about the deceptive teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, that's an interesting confrontation between Christ and the disciples. And there are many. We saw one a few months ago. I did one with you when he confronted them about, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then you don't do what I say? Now, this is another confrontation passage where Jesus confronts the disciples head on, right? And the point is, he wanted to teach them something. He wanted to teach them something. Watch out, he said. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. He was aware that they may have been confused about the exchange they just heard. He was worried for them. He saw danger up ahead, and he wanted to warn them about what had just happened. Here's what we need to keep in mind as we begin to unpack this, okay? God is always looking out for us. God is always looking out for us. God knows the danger that lies ahead of us, of each and every one of us. God knows what we will face tomorrow before we know what we will face tomorrow. And when God speaks to us, he attempts to communicate with us warnings for us to be able to prepare ourselves for what's coming. The Pharisees were poisoning the well. The Pharisees were poisoning the teaching. They were corrupting the teaching that Christ was giving the disciples. And he knows that they were going to have to deal with the Pharisees and the Sadducees for the first few years of their building of the church when he was no longer going to be there. And after this exchange, he wants them to understand, hey, listen, you have to be careful with what these guys are teaching. You have to be careful with what these guys are teaching. He wants them to understand that just because he can dismiss them and he can deal with it and there's no way they're going to trap him. He's afraid or concerned that they will be trapped, that they will be poisoned by this leaven, by this yeast, that they are going to be infected by these bad teachings. And notice that what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did is something that people do today. Well, come on, if God is God, why doesn't he show us some miraculous sign? You know, let him knock that bottle of water over and then I'll know he's God. It's the same, people do that today. That's what the Pharisees were doing. And Jesus rebukes them for that. He says, you don't need that sign. Just open your eyes and look around you. There are signs everywhere that what I have written is true, that what I have said is true. Just look around you. How many people do I have to heal before you? And here you are asking me to do a sign for you? Talk to the blind man I just healed. Talk to the leper that I just healed. Go talk to, come on. And you're asking me for a sign? You see, because they were hypocrites. They were trying to poison and put doubt into the teaching. And Jesus is trying to get ahead of the game and tell them, hey, listen, watch out for this. The same way a coach would say to a team, hey, watch out for that player. Watch out for this play because they've done it before and they've been very successful. Don't let them do it to you. Same way. It's the same way in any conflict, in any situation, when somebody has insight in how the enemy's going to work, he wants everybody else to be prepared for it. And that's what Jesus was doing. He wanted to teach. Jesus continues to want to teach us. But like the Pharisees, like the disciples, we're very often in La La Land. Anybody know where La La Land is? You go there often? Yeah, me too. We all spend some time, at least some time there. Some people are citizens there, though. You're permanent residents of La La Land. Yeah. That you're the president of La La Land. The disciples were in La La Land. Jesus was trying to teach them, and they were in La La Land. I remember we had a guy, we did a job at our house, and there was two guys working. There was Willie, and then this other guy, or I forget one of the guys' names. But one of the elder gentlemen, he would start working, and then he would just stand there with like the tool in his hand, and you could see that he was out of it. And the other guy would say, hey, aterriza, you know, land, come back to us. We need you here working. And the guy would like, okay, snap out of it. And so it's very common for human, it's very common for people to just go into this la-la land place. And here's where the disciples were. Look at verse 5. They crossed the lake and they had discovered they didn't bring any bread. So they were concerned. This was not la-la land. They were concerned. What are we going to eat? That's a legitimate concern. I can understand their worry. Food is important. Bread is important. And if you're hungry and you're thinking about food and you forgot the food, that's not a good thing. And if there's 13 of you that have to eat and you don't have food for anybody, somebody's going to get upset. And that's what they're worried about. And so he tells them, they're worried about that, but he wants to teach them something so much more important than the bread they forgot. And he says to them, be careful with the yeast. Yeast is used to make bread. So because they're thinking about bread, they think Jesus is telling them about the bread they forgot. Now, how does that make sense? Think about it. Where do you have to be? Where do you have to be to hear the words of Jesus? Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then believe that Jesus is talking up to you about the bread you forgot. Something like terribly failed there in the communication process. They were thinking about food. They were blaming each other about the food. Hey, it was your job. No, you forgot it. No, I brought it last time. And like, I mean, I can just imagine them going back and forth like little kids arguing about, man, he's going to be upset, but it's your fault. I'm going to tell him. You were supposed to bring him. No, what are you talking about? You know, I mean, they're just going at it. Their minds were completely occupied by the lack of bread. Completely occupied. The disciples totally misunderstood what Jesus said. Totally. They thought he was talking about the bread they forgot to bring. And that happens to us so many times. So many times. We're so obsessed with something that's happening in our lives at any particular moment. It could be something big. It could be something small. It could be something significant, something insignificant. And we become so obsessed with that, that we don't hear what God is telling us. We don't listen well to what God is telling us. We fall into this, we're hearing words, but our mind is not paying attention. Our mind is elsewhere. And we struggle with that. We all do. What is the little thing that worries us? Something somebody said at school today. Something that somebody said at work today. Something that happened in traffic today. Or how about the fact that you had an argument with somebody yesterday? So you'll come to church, or I'll come to church, and while God is speaking to us through whomever is up here, our mind is in la-la land. Our mind is dealing with whatever that happened, and we fail to hear what God is telling us. And God, when we sit here in church, we got to understand, this is not a social club. I mean, it's awesome to hang out with each other. I love you guys. Communion is awesome. Fellowship is great, but when somebody stands up here to speak, they are speaking what God wants people to hear. Because God chooses who's going to speak here and when they're going to speak. And God gives us the topics we're going to talk about. So when we talk, it's whatever God wants us to say. So when you come to church and God is talking to you and your mind is elsewhere, there's a miscommunication here. And you could say, well, you know, it's just that I don't like the way that guy speaks, or I don't like the way she speaks, or I don't like the way they do this or that, or that was boring, or the topic is not relevant. We can come up, and the truth of the matter is we were not paying attention. Because when you listen, you're going to hear what God is trying to tell you. Unless other things are distracting you. And that's where Jesus has to have a confrontation with them. That's where Jesus has to get in their face. Now, he does it with love, and he does it for their own good, but he gets in their face, and he confronts them. Verses 8 and on, man, he tells them in verse 8, that entire discussion you're having is stupid. That's what he tells them. The entire discussion you guys are having is stupid. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, you have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about not having no bread? Seriously, like, why are you guys arguing about that? Did you forget who you're with? Did you forget who you're with? That's like standing in the middle of a supermarket and saying, man, I need milk tonight. I don't know what I'm going to do. Man, we don't have any milk at home. Oh my gosh, we don't have any milk at home. What are we going to do? I mean, I have money for milk, but we don't have any milk at home. And the kids, and you're standing in a supermarket. There's 55 gallons of milk there that you can take. They're sitting there with Jesus. And they're talking about how they forgot their bread and they're going to starve. Are you serious? Jesus is telling me, did you guys forget who you're with? And you know what? We laugh at them. We laugh at them, but man, don't we do the same thing? He says, don't you even understand yet? Verse 9, don't you remember that 5,000 that I fed with five loaves of bread? Didn't you remember that miracle I did? Listen, you were a part of that miracle. You guys picked up the baskets that were left over, remember? How do you have pieces of bread, feed 5,000 people and have baskets left over? How does that work? You forget that I'm the guy that did that? And you're worried about going hungry tonight because we have no bread? And by the way, don't you remember that I also did that for 4,000 people with seven loaves of bread? And you guys were the ones that picked up the extra baskets also? So why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? And then he tells them again what he's talking about. Haven't you learned anything yet? The problem is they were not listening to Jesus. This is not about the bread to eat. Why would I have asked you to beware? Why would I say beware? Beware of what? Why? Why would I mention the Pharisees and the Sadducees in relation to the bread you forgot? Like, if you were listening, you would have known that that's not what I'm talking about. Apparently, they only heard the word yeast. That's the only word that stood out in their mind, and they know that they used that to make bread, and they made the connection in their minds that that must have been what they were talking about. Wow. But don't we do the same thing? This time, so what does Jesus do? He does what a good teacher does. He does what a good teacher does. He says, I'm going to say it to you again slowly. So, again, I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. You get it? Because they were not listening. And I mean, you've heard Daisy say it over and over again about how, as a teacher, she'll give the kids instructions. And she'll say, you know, okay, you cannot write on your test. And then 2 minutes later, I say, can we write on the test? It's like, were you listening? No. Where were they? La La Land, okay? Not a good place to be when somebody's talking to you. And so we do the same thing. We do the same thing. We are so focused on trivial things that we miss what God is trying to tell us. And we often forget who God is. We freak out about some things. Oh my God, Lord, I've lost my job. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, I need to pay the bills, Lord. And we start freaking out and God is saying, have you forgotten who I am? Have you forgotten who I am? Do you forget the fact that I got you the job, that I have provided for you, that I've looked out for you, that you're not going to go hungry? I mean, come on, when have you ever gone hungry since you've been with me? It's God telling you, listen, why are you worried about, okay, yeah, there's a place for that. But you need to be focused on what's more important. And that's what God wants you for your life, what God is telling you, the warnings God is giving you, the message he's trying to communicate. What is God trying to tell me? What does God want from me? What does God need from me? And everything else falls into place. And we go nuts about the dumbest things. And God is telling us, listen, you just, don't you get it? Please listen to me. That's what Jesus is telling them. Please listen to me. I'm not talking because I like to hear my voice. I want to teach you something. Beware beware. And then they finally focus on what Jesus is saying. Finally, it says verse 12, then at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about the yeast and bread, about the deceptive teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Finally, it's about time, at last, after they were confronted, after Jesus says, hey, forget about the bread that you did not bring and listen to me. This is what I have to say. He got them to refocus on what was important. That's what he needed to do. He got them to stop arguing about stupid things and focus on what's really important. And that's what he was teaching them. They got it now. They understood. Wow, amazing. Understanding is about focusing on what is important. It's not the yeast of the bread that's important. It's the false teachings of the Pharisees that he wanted to be aware of. It's not the little things that are important in your life. It's what God wants you to be aware of. It's listening to him. It's responding to him. How could we go year after year hearing message after message and not change? And not do things differently and have it not affect our lives in any way? What does that tell us? That we don't really listen to what God is saying. And if we do listen, then we choose not to obey and not to do what he says. But if we're listening and we're focused on what he's teaching us, the wise thing to do would be to obey, to take heed, to notice, to take note of, to make it important. Understanding is about listening carefully to what God has to say. What was the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They were teaching false doctrines. They were teaching that you needed to work for your salvation. They were teaching you that if you didn't do this, A, B, C, and D, you would not be saved. They were teaching that in order to be holy, you had to do this and this. And they had this whole thing about man-made rules and doctrines and everything, with a Bible verse here and there thrown in for good measure. But it was not God's plan. It was not his message. It was not his will. They were corrupting the truth. And he wanted them to be aware of it. Now, in conclusion tonight, usually when people speak about this passage, a lot of emphasis is placed on, you know, what were the Pharisees teaching that was deceptive? And that's not a bad place to put the emphasis, because that's what Jesus wanted them to catch. That, you know, these guys were not teaching sound doctrine. Other times the focus is on the lack of faith of the disciples. You know, and no doubt that that's an important topic. Yeah, I mean, come on. You're with Jesus. Stop worrying about bread, will you? Like, he'll make some bread for you. No problem. However, I think that one of the critical lessons is often missed. And that's the one that I wanted to focus on tonight. Oftentimes we miss that the confrontation was not really about faith. He didn't confront them because they lacked faith. He confronted them because they weren't listening to him. That's why he confronted them. Their lack of faith is just demonstrated by the stupidity of their conversation. But he's confronting them because they are not listening to him. The confrontation was not about even the yeast of the Pharisees, because he was going to teach them about that. He confronted them because they were not listening to him. They did not get it. That was the point. The importance of listening carefully to God's word. That's what Jesus wanted to communicate with them. He needed to refocus them, not letting ourselves be distracted while God is trying to speak to us. That's what Jesus was connecting with them with. We are going to miss the point if we only pick a word here or there. When we listen to a message and we only pick up 5 minutes here, 3 minutes there, we're going to miss what God is trying to communicate to us. Never forget who's speaking to us. Never forget who's speaking to us. We need to listen to God's word, by whomever God appoints to preach or teach about it. We need to listen. And we need to listen carefully. And we need to learn how to focus. We need to learn how to focus. Let's stand up tonight.